Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it'll definitely be a fusion of entertainment and sports because all in one package at the PNC Championship, it was not only golf at a very high level, maybe surprisingly high, but also highly entertaining because of the format. So we're going to talk a lot about the PNC Championship that was concluded in Orlando, and I guess we got to talk about the two most famous golfers on the planet, and that would be Tiger Woods and his son Charlie Woods. And it may stay that way for quite some time. In a little bit, we're going to be joined by Golf Channel's Todd Lewis, who was there on site and had a chance to see for himself with his own eyes, not even through the TV lens, exactly what happened in Orlando, and give us his evaluation of Tiger, because that's kind of what this came down to, was not just the regular tournament, which is, you know, a lot of fun, and it's fathers and grandfathers and kids and, you know, big name players and whatnot, but it's usually kind of fun and chuckles. But it came down to how in the heck is Tiger Woods even thinking he's going to play, and how will he play when he decided he was going to? It turned out to be, I think, for most people, a lot higher level than we were expecting. And so we're going to talk with Todd Lewis coming up in just a little bit about that. Joining us right now in the Nashville studios, as always, Frank Bassett. And Frank, I know it was a tough day because your Titans are playing, the Cowboys are playing, football's going on, it's getting down to the playoffs, but you had golf on the other channel too. It was hard to keep both going. You needed picture in picture, I guess. It was hard for me to turn away from golf, even if it was a dramatic part of a football game, because I'm not saying there was drama, but it was highly entertaining. This was, you know, it was a fun event, the PNC Championship. It wasn't a Masters. It wasn't a major title, but it was really interesting to see how Charlie and Tiger were playing together. Both of them, in my mind, both of them surprised the heck out of me with their level of play.
Good morning. You're right. It was crazy trying to watch everything, but I have multiple TVs in that room set up so I can watch the big one in the middle and then on the sides, you know. So, but I was focused on the big one in the middle, and it was on the PNC. That's the most entertaining 18 holes of golf final round I think I've seen in a long, long, long time. It was incredible to watch. And just the drama of Tiger Woods being back, and with every swing he would make, especially on the tee box, well, even in the fairways, we would hold our breath going, oh, God, please. Could you look at his face to see if he grimaces or he's hurting, or because we need him back. I mean, he's just – he excites the hell out of everybody when he's playing that game, and it's fun to watch. But you said it. Charlie Woods, are you kidding me?
Pretty solid game.
I want him in my member guest, as Rich Lerner said. He's everybody's favorite member guest partner.
And everything, right? Oh, gets to go up there and pound a 250-yard drive from up the tees.
But one of the most fascinating shots he made all day was on the par 3 with water on the left, pin tucked on the left, and he put it in between the pin and the water. And stuck it, and they all played from the same tees on that hole, on the par 3s. They all played from the same tees.
About 170 yards. Yeah. It was not a short hole. He's just 12 years old. They don't give his dimensions, but I'm assuming, like his dad, going to get a growing spurt here in the next couple of years. Next time we see him, he'll probably be 6 feet tall. But he's not a very big guy at all at 12 years old. Probably, if I had to guess, weighs 90 pounds and hit the heck out of the ball. I'm not saying he drove it 350 yards. I mean, not exaggerating, but he hit it very solid. He had a great short game. He had nice little chips. And as you said on that par 3, 170 yards right there next to all the grown-ups. And he had the best shot
of the day
that anybody hit. And he hit it when they needed it. I mean, they were in a contention. And maybe we buried the lead a little bit. Congratulations to John Daly and Little John Daly for winning the whole darn thing. They finished at 27 under. Tiger and Charlie finished second place at 25 under, two shots back. But Team Daly was the winner, so they played extremely well. And so on that hole, they're down to the last few holes, neck and neck with Team Daly. And so it was not only a great shot, it was a clutch shot because they needed a birdie on that hole. And Tiger, I can't remember the order because sometimes they tape it and then they show later. I think Tiger went after his dad. I mean, Tiger went after his son because the announcers were saying, Charlie stuck it tight, let's see what Tiger can do. And Tiger tried to hit, I believe, a low draw, and he didn't really draw it, and it kind of went off to the right. It wasn't even on the green. So he needed Charlie. I mean, they were not going to make birdie with Tiger's shot. They needed Charlie. And they ran off what? At what point, Frank? 11 straight birdies?
11 straight birdies. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Gee.
It's a record.
They came from, I believe, five shots back.
And, four. Yeah, four, I think. Four back.
Was it four back and a tie for fourth or fifth place? Yeah. The other good teams were Thomas, Team Sink. You know the names. Singh, Lehman, Kuchar, O'Meara, Stenson. Some really good players there. The oldest player in the field actually played pretty well, and that was Gary Player. Yeah. His team finished right. He and his grandson finished at 18 under. The last place team would also be a old veteran, but a classic golfer, and that'd be Lee Trevino and his grandson. They finished in last place, but not that anybody necessarily cares. But they all got checks. I mean, there was no cut. There was two rounds. Again, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, beer money.
The last place team got $40,000. Team Daly got $200,000 worth of really ugly clothes. They get to wear now for the next year.
You know, I'm a native Arkansan, born not born and raised, but born in at a different state. But my dad was in service. But our family generations were farmers. Arkansas, right? Cotton. I didn't go to Arkansas, as you well know. I went to Ole Miss, my favorite school. God, the pig. I can't stand the Razorback logo. I just
pig suey.
Yeah,
champ, the whole thing.
You know, but John went there. Not little John, but John the second.
Yeah,
is there now as a freshman, and he looks like he may have a career on the PGA Tour if he keeps this up, because he's a powerful player. But
he trimmed up a bit too. I mean, he was kind of going down the road with his dad, who, by the way, older John is getting bigger. Well, so he's not trimming up. But the little one, who was kind of, you know, he's played in this now for what? It's probably 7, 8, 9 years.
Right? Yeah.
And when his son was, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, he was kind of getting chunky and chunky. Yeah. He looks like he's gotten in pretty good shape now with a good game.
Did you see the team picture? You know, they take a picture of the dinner, the Friday night. You didn't see it.
Not
in John shape. Wore a Santa Claus suit. Everybody else was in a jacket or a sweater. John wore a Santa Claus suit.
Well, if you missed it and you hadn't seen it and you hadn't seen John in a while, in addition to his white hair, which he's had for a dozen years now, he and the big Santa belly without the pillow in front, he also now has about an 8-inch beard going. So he's got the total Santa look for sure. Without the attire, if you put on his outfit, he does. He's got the whole white thing going. So
yeah.
And it's John Daly. I mean, he is what he is, right? And he's still a draw. He's still
huge.
He's a guy that everybody knows. You may like him or not like him, but you're never going to not know who he is, right? There's some other guys that could walk up and down a fairway or in and out of a mall. You would. Yeah. John Daly, people know. I mean, so he's got that going for him. And by the way, I make fun of his girth. Still got a game. I mean, they obviously won. So between him and his son, they played some golf. They really
His son threw him under the bus in the final interview and said, "Well, you know, Dad didn't play very well yesterday. I had to carry him." And
they have fun. They have fun.
They had fun, and that's what this tournament's all about. And that's what Tiger said when he was. You know, Joey LaCava made some comments off the record, of course, about you know how they get ready for a tournament and what the demeanor of Tiger is when they're walking to that first tee and their plan, and they've got it down exactly what they're going to do on every shot. And if this, then this, if this, then this type thing. He said, walk to the first tee, and Joey said, "Well, what do you think?" Tiger looked at him and said, "Joey, let's just have fun. Let's just have some fun out here."
Yeah.
He said, "That's never happened. Tiger's never said that.
Never. Yeah. And I think that's a combination of a few things. One, the recent injury and everything else and the dawning of, wow, I'm lucky to be alive kind of thing. Also just the maturation like anybody has. You're intense, you're fierce, you're all that when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're winning majors, you're trying. He's aged like a fine wine, and he's gotten a little bit less intense about that. He's learned that from being assistant captains at Ryder Cup and President's Cup when he couldn't play, and he got to kind of be around the guys and got some joking and camaraderie going. So that's loosened it up. Plus, the format of this tournament was supposed to be about fun, because there's senior citizens galore playing in this tournament. There's guys in their 80s playing in this tournament. Gary Player is 86 or 87.
And still got game.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is about fun, but it's nice to see that Tiger's chilled a little bit and still could perform. I mean, could still play. It wasn't like he was just, you know, hitting little shank shots all over the place. And here to describe it exactly, what we're talking about, Todd Lewis, we said, is going to be joining us here in a minute. Todd was there, and after the round, ran into Matt Kuchar, who I believe they were playing together, were they not, in the same group?
Yes,
Kuchar and Woods were playing together. So Matt Kuchar had a bird's eye view of exactly what's going on. Plus, he and Tiger are good friends from years and years ago. But he had a very good look at what was up close and personal with Tiger and how he played the round, how he looked, all the different things. And so we're going to let you listen to a little bit of that. This is the conversation with Todd Lewis and Matt Kuchar after yesterday's final round of the PNC Championship.
I'm coming in tail end. What did he show you today?
Oh, it was so impressive. Speed off the tee. The irons were typical Tiger Woods irons, best iron player maybe to ever live. It just seemed to fall right down the pin, be pin high time and time again, just quality strikes. It was way impressive. I saw some of the swings from Bahamas and didn't look like he really had the speed and wasn't too sure. And holy cow, it was quality stuff.
Right, forget the walking, just from the game perspective, is that a game that can compete on the PGA Tour?
Yes. Easy as that. Easy as that. Thank you, buddy.
Hey.
What's up?
That's up.
Easy as that. Easy as
that's
that.
What he said.
He was
easy
quick.
That.
Yes.
It was that. And that's a bit surprising to me because certainly Tiger, not that long ago in the Bahamas, said, I'm not ready for the tour, not even close to being ready to play in tour events.
He had a 350-yard drive yesterday.
He had a 4-iron from 230. I mean, he was hitting. It wasn't like, and that's what I kind of thought. I thought maybe slower swing, slower speed, like everybody, and as you get older, and plus his injuries, I thought, he's going to come down to the normal ranges. He's going to hit his 6-irons, and they're going to go 189 yards or something like that. Not what he normally was doing, but he was hitting it, I think, about as far as he ever hit it.
Yes.
So that was surprising to me.
And the accuracy, really what Kuchar alluded to, or didn't allude to, he just flat out said it. His distance control was incredible. And Tiger said, after the 3 months in bed, he got out and started his rehab, and he worked on something every day. And we'll let Todd talk all about that. I mean, he was right there with him talking to Tiger for several days there, and I got to text back and forth with him during the tournament yesterday, and he was like, "It's electric! You won't believe this. This is incredible." Yeah. It's exciting.
Well, good. We'll take a break here because we do have Todd waiting in the wings to talk to us about exactly what he saw and his perspective, and he's as intuitive as far as a reporter and seeing what he sees and knows the reverence of the game and can relate to past years and everything with Tiger. So he's a great guy to have on at this particular time. So let's take a quick break, and Golf Channel's Todd Lewis will join us after this. So stick around. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we're coming back right after this.
The brand new sports podcast, The Long Game with LZ and Leach, explores how events on the field collide with the moments in politics, business, and culture that happen off the field. Host LG Granderson and Will Leach dig into vaccination hesitation, online betting, and all of the wonderful isms and phobias we've come to know, love, and, of course, hate. You can listen to new episodes of The Long Game with LZ and Leach every Wednesday on TheRecount.com or your preferred podcast platform.
Hey, it's Neil Michaels, Director of Sales for Golf Talk America. Frank and I were talking the other day about the fact that there doesn't seem to be comfortable shirts and shorts for golfers that also hike and work out. Then I found out about 10,000, and now I'm a huge fan. 10,000 makes the highest quality, best-fitting, most comfortable training shorts I've ever worn. I've personally been wearing their 7-inch interval shorts to hike and their versatile shirt for all kinds of workouts, even at the driving range. 10,000 has gear for all types of workouts, from running to hiking, lifting to boxing, however you train. And with the holidays just around the corner, 10,000 gear makes a great gift for any fitness enthusiast in your life. This Christmas, I'm buying some for my son, the gym rat, and for my stepson, the hiker. Ugh. I hope Santa didn't give away any secrets just then. 10,000 is offering listeners of Golf Talk America 15% off your purchase right now. Just go to 10,000.cc and enter the code GOLFTALK to receive 15% off your purchase. That's 10,000.cc, not .com, and enter the code GOLFTALK for a huge 15% off today.
I have two sons-in-laws and one brother-in-law, all of whom are on the gift list, all of whom are golfers, so all of them are getting lessons from Jeff Smith for Christmas. But they won't believe I actually paid for those. I want to get them something else that shows that I'm thinking about them. The other thing they have in common is they all shave. Jeff can take care of the golf. Harry can take care of the shaving. Have you ever tried Harry's? I've been using Harry's for almost a year now, and the blades from Harry's are the sharpest I have ever been able to find anywhere. And foaming shave gel that is included in the gift package I'm about to tell you about is some of the best stuff. I mean, these blades and that gel just make it so smooth, and they're so sharp that the blades last longer. You get many more shaves before you start getting that tugging and pulling and nicking where you go, I got to change blades. They are affordable, they're fantastic, and they last longer than anything you've ever had. You don't love it? You get a full refund. There's a 100% quality guarantee from Harry's. That's one of the things that makes it the perfect gift. He doesn't like it, you get your money back. What can I say? And this holiday season, listeners of our show can get $5 off plus free shipping on any Harry's limited edition holiday shave set when you go to harrys.com/golfguys. Now, the set comes with a weighted handle, 3 razor cartridges, foaming shave gel I told you about, and a travel cover. Everything he will need for a smooth shave, all packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. So you want your $5 off plus free shipping? You got it. Go to harrys.com/golfguys. Do it now.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you. And as we just said before the break, we have the very talented and hopefully very awake, because we're doing this fairly early in the morning, Todd Lewis with Golf Channel, who was at the event, the PNC Championship in Orlando, and is gracious enough to get up a little bit early to join us this morning to talk about it. Todd, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good morning. Thank you for doing this.
It's not that early, guys. Come on. I mean, I've been up since 5 a.m.
Yeah, I know. My text went off, and I woke up in bed and went, what? What is that? Yeah. So I turned around and text Tim right then.
Text me. At that point. Yeah, 5 o'clock my time, which was early for me.
If I'm up, Tim, you're up.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, it was pretty electric out there, as I said in my text to you. It was certainly electric in front of our TVs, watching it and seeing what happened. And we thank you for the clip you sent me earlier. We played that right before we brought you in, of you talking to Matt Kuchar, and I absolutely love it when you ask him about is Tiger Tour ready? Is that swing tour ready? He went, yep, just that quick. So interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought the most impactful day for me at the PNC Championship was Friday during the Pro-Am. Because I hadn't seen Tiger since the accident, and I saw clips of him down in the Bahamas swinging, which looked at the time to be not with an abundance of energy. So I didn't really know what to expect, and then I watched him hit balls warming up, and I was like, oh my, this is not far off from the Tiger that I saw in 2019, 2020. So I was really impressed. And then I followed him in the Pro-Am with his son. And I know that golf course really well. He got to the 11th hole, and I was standing right beside Tiger on the tee box. And Charlie was just off to his left. And Tiger got over the ball and said to Charlie, hey, little dude, let's go. And then he just flat out ripped one. And I knew when he said that to Charlie that he was going to really go after it. And I watched that ball sail, and knowing that golf course, I'm like, that is well over 3 bills. And so I went out to where they hit their second shot and pulled out a rangefinder and shot the sign behind the tee box, which is only about 10 yards. It was 335 yards. So, I conservatively gave him 320, but it probably was a little more than that. But yeah, I saw tour speed there this week. Now, whether he could consistently do that for 72 holes, that's, because A, he was in a cart, and B, when you're walking 72 holes, that's going to affect your speed and your energy. Whether he can do that for 72 holes, right? I don't think he can, but he's not far away. If he can get his legs to be able to walk from being competitive once again.
I'm curious Todd, that history, and I'm going to go way back in history, so I'm see if there's a reference here. But a guy that I think has been compared to Tiger because of the injuries, and certainly now with the actual car accident injury, was Ben Hogan. And him coming back from that horrific accident, I believe in 49, and winning 3 majors after that. And he also was maybe not on his deathbed, but the doctors were very concerned about him. Certainly less technology medical wise back then to heal a guy and do all that. He had to wrap his legs. He was in a wheelchair for a long, long time and came back the way he came back. Is there a possibility that, and he was older as well, not as old as Tiger is now, but certainly older in his career. Is that a reference? Is there a possibility that Tiger, with today's technology and money being no object, get any treatment you need to get, that we could possibly, when we thought maybe he'll never play again, certainly he won't play on the tour and be competitive, could he get to that level that Hogan did?
Well, when Tiger had this was three or four years ago, when he had that press conference, I think it was 2016, actually, 5 years ago, down here at World Challenge, it was dark and very pessimistic. This was about his back. And, you know, I just want to have a normal life again. You know, he wasn't even talking about competing on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And you know, at that point in his career, I had seen him, you know, gingerly walk around the planet. And I'm like, this guy, he might come back and compete, but he can't win. And since then, of course, he's won three times, including a major championship, the Tour Championship, and the Zozo, which was his 82nd victory on the PGA Tour in tied with Sam Snead. So I'm just going to take a big, giant Costco bucket of, Todd, why don't you shut up and just not doubt this guy anymore? So, yes, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I do believe he very much can come back out and win again. But he does have some things against him. Yes, he does have the fortune of having modern technology when it comes to medicine. He probably has some kind of chamber capsule in his house that he gets in, right? You know, so on. And obviously money's not an object for him, but he does still have that back issue. And I know his back was bothering him this week, but he has to manage that along with his legs, and he's going to be 46 pretty soon. So, you know, as he said, Father Time is undefeated. So he's closer to 50 than he is at 40. So it's, you know, that's the stuff he's going to have to do. But I believe me, my man, I am not doubting that guy. I am not.
Learned your lesson?
He has proven all of us wrong. The one thing that he has that people just don't talk about is that he has, in my opinion, and talking to people who have seen Jack Nicklaus in his prime, he is the best game manager on the golf course ever. And he can think his way around a golf course. He's got all the shots, but knowing when to hit them and when not to hit them, more importantly, he can do it. And his mind can, and with the ability that I saw just this past week, with that mind he has and the experience and the comfort level he has in big moments, that's enough to win on the PGA Tour, in my opinion, right now.
We'll talk about distractions. I mean, he had the advantage of the cart, right? But
sure.
Several times we saw on the television, you saw it there, but he had Erica and he had his daughter in the, you know, Sam in the cart with him, and he's talking to them, and then somebody else is in the cart with him, and he still can just turn it on and turn it off. I mean, he just game time over. He's so good at that.
Yeah, the swing is there pretty much. I mean, it's good. I mean, I heard you play that clip I had with Kuchar, and I asked Tiger after his round yesterday about, hey, Kuch said that you're at tour level quality right now with your game, and he's, oh no, he laughed and just blew it off. No, I'm nowhere close to that. Oh, he played alongside Justin Thomas, who is a top 10 player in the world and, you know, a great player right now. And JT was 20 to 30 yards ahead of him off the tee.
Yeah.
But again, we saw what Tiger did with his hands in regards to his wedge game and his putting. That's still completely there. And his distance is not that. I mean, he is. If he can just get his legs to the point where he can walk and do it for 72 holes, and if he's at a tournament, you know, he's going to have to play probably at least 18 holes at a practice round. That's going to be 90 holes. That's still a ways to go. And for him to do it at Torrey Pines, for him to do it at Augusta National, where there's so much up and down and elevation and side hill lies, that's the issue right now. So, you know, he's got some months to do that, though.
We're joined by Golf Channel's Todd Lewis talking about what happened at the PNC Championship over the weekend in Orlando with Team Tiger. and all the different teams, the father, son, and some daughters, and different combinations, grandkids in there as well, playing in this tournament. But and you're right, Todd. That's what I was curious about. Is Matt Kuchar answered the question like you'd expect a good friend of a guy to say about another friend? And sometimes it's not always the pure honest answer. It's because they're friends, and it's what he wants to say and the way he wants to put it. I'm curious. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a guy who's friends with, unrelated to Tony Romo, plays with Romo all the time. He's telling me how great Romo is. I go, well, he never makes a cut. He never actually does. He's always last by like 12 strokes. But he's the greatest putter I've ever seen in my life. The greatest putter. Seriously, he could pay him. He goes on and on. Well, it's because they're friends, right? He just can't not say. So I'm wondering if you take your friendship part of Matt Kuchar away, Todd, in all honesty, just rawness and saying, okay, here's Tiger, and let's say Augusta's the goal. Is his game, his swing, and you've seen it on and on, and you saw all the different shots. The distance is maybe not there, but is his game solid enough if he can maintain the stamina to walk the course? Do the shots fit with what a guy would have to do to win at Augusta?
Well, let me get to the first part of what you were talking about in regards to Matt Kuchar. I love Matt. Matt and I, we have a good professional relationship. We have a good personal relationship, and I have given him grief a lot. When I've asked him tough questions, he has the art of deflection down beautifully.
Yes.
He can sidestep around and, do things. So when I asked him that question from that clip that you played, forget the walking, do you feel like Tiger's game is PGA Tour ready right now? He emphatically, yes. I mean, he went right to the point. Right. So I believed him. He wasn't just talking about his friend. He saw it. And it wasn't just him. I mean, Justin Thomas talked about it this week. Other players, Mike Thomas, who knows Tiger's game very well, he coaches Justin, his son, and he said it too. It's like, he kind of hustled us a bit. He's better than he led on to be. Now, do I feel like he has the game to win at Augusta National right now? Let me answer your question with a question. Did you feel like he had the game in 2019 to win? I mean, he wasn't hitting every – I mean, right. He wasn't playing like he was in 2000, 2001, but he sure was able to go around that place and win. So from what I saw over the weekend, and it will get better, I think if he is capable of walking, he can compete in major championship and can compete on the PGA Tour. It's just a matter of when that body will be ready to do that.
Yeah, it was something. Now, we talk about Tiger, but the performance of his son, Charlie, was incredible. How did that play out in front of you? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, ultra competitive. Talking to Mike Thomas, who, by the way, is kind of the swing coach for Charlie, kind of Tiger's. Like dads and sons, you hear this a lot. Sometimes their dad is not their best teacher. They need to hear it from somebody else.
Right.
Tiger will tell Mike Thomas, because they have such a great relationship, hey, let's have him do this, and then Mike will teach him how to do it. But Mike told me he's got every shot. He's got every shot, but he just needs to have the maturity of when to hit those shots and when not to. And he's 12, he's going to learn that. I if he can continue to stay focused, he's obviously got the talent and the competitive drive. I don't see why he can't come out and do something special as he gets older.
Yeah. His putting stroke was absolutely beautiful watching that. Yeah. He was just draining them from everywhere, but that was that impressive par three where he stuck it inside in between the pin and the water. Was just, I mean, I jumped up off the couch. I said, oh my gosh, look at this. I don't know if he didn't mean to do that, kind of like Ricky Fowler at the Players' Championship in the playoff when he stuck it right there on the front right at 17 at Sawgrass. I mean, he said, I really wasn't aiming there. But you think,
Todd, who do you think of the children that played, like the siblings, who's the best player out there? And we don't know a lot of these guys, whether it's a Stenson, O'Meara. We certainly know the Thomas family, and we know the Woods family's come to. We've seen Daly play with his son, I guess, for the last several years at this event. But some of the other guys out there, were you impressed by other kids that we don't necessarily know so much about that may be on the tour or might be a star player coming up?
I think Little John Daly, is a very accomplished player. I mean, if you're playing alongside your father, and granted, he's close to 60, but who is a two-time major champion, can hit it a ton, and you're the guy who's hitting second behind your dad. That shows that, you know, you got talent. You got talent. Your dad says, "Hey man, I'm gonna hit this putt. You check it out and follow me and get a read on it." I think he's got probably the best in the field as far as kids out there right now.
Yeah,
you know, I think Charlie, as he gets older, I think he's got some potential as well. So it was cool to watch.
I enjoyed Henrik Stenson's little boy. He was the youngest in the entire field of the kids.
Yeah, was he like 11 or something, Frank?
He's the youngest ever to play in that championship.
Yeah.
Not quite as talented as Charlie, but he's got some nice fundamentals, and he's got a pretty good wit. I don't know if you saw that on social media. I was there at the at the awards dinner when he was ripping his dad apart.
That was pretty funny, yeah. And then they tweeted something out with both of them chilling, laying there on the bed, which I thought was pretty funny.
Exactly.
He's got his dad's sense of humor, which is as dry as a fine fine champagne.
Exactly.
Todd, is there any truth to the fact that you're going to start going with Nick Price's son's hairstylist?
Zero.
Because I think you just grow it out for a couple of years. And
easy,
you'll get there.
Easy. I've grown my hair out, buddy. Easy.
That was so long hair, wasn't it?
He's a surfer.
Greg is his name, Gregory. And he eats raw liver for breakfast every day.
Oh, God.
He's, you know, he's kind of out there in the you know, world of natural living. That helps him out. So that's his gig.
Dining on roadkill? What?
From what I understand, he's you know, into, you know, ranching in the wilderness and so on. So got to spend a little time. He's a nice kid.
He seems extremely nice just from the visual of seeing he and his dad interact.
Gotta be, right? His dad's one of the nicest guys.
His dad's one of the nicest guys ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
So far from the tree.
So Todd, you got to take it all in. What was your take on John's attire at the awards dinner?
He was dressed as Santa. As Santa, I should say.
Appropriately enough,
And yeah, he said he's going to have a little fun with it. And then he lost the jolly old elf outfit and went down a little bit. I just think he doesn't really care anymore.
Did he ever?
Yes, he did. John did at one time.
I think he did for a while, but now he's at the point he's like, "Hey, I am who I am," and that's who he is.
He's deep down inside. I've known him for a lot of years. We're both fellow Arkansans, he really touched my heart one time when he was in a private setting and I was walking by. In fact, we were out at the Color Guard Classic not too long ago. And I went to step in, and security said, "Oh, no, sir, you can't come in here." And John turned and saw me and said, "Hey, he's one of the good guys. Let him in."
Yeah.
So, you know, but he's really a softy deep down inside.
Big heart.
He really does. So tell us this. How's your golf game? Because you're a pretty good stick.
I don't know. I got new clubs, and I was all excited about these new clubs. And, you know, I mean, I all the way through the bag, with the exception of my putter. And, I was like, "Hey, man, this is going to see," because I'm 54, and I feel like I got just a few more good years left. And until parts start not letting me do what I think they should be doing.
Can you say the name of those new clubs?
The Great Cobra Clubs. Put them out there, and I guess it's kind of like any relationship, any romantic relationship. You know,
a man in his golf club.
They look real nice, beautiful, very pretty.
Honeymoon,
but they gotta have some substance.
It gotta work.
Right now we're still in the dating period. We're not quite moving on to the relationship, engaged, marriage part yet. So we'll see how that works out.
I think you need a picture of your golf bag sitting beside you across the table with a glass of wine in front of it at dinner one night and tweet that out.
That's right.
You know, we're in the dating portion. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're great clubs. They're different than what I'm used to, and so I'm working on them. But it's getting there. It's finally progressing. So.
Well, Todd, we do always appreciate you being on the show. Tell us a little bit about and tell the audience what you got coming up. You're going to be off the golf course for a while, but still doing, I guess, the family of NBC. Is that what we're talking about? You're doing Peacock,
right? Yeah, well, first off,
a little bit of everywhere in Beijing.
Yeah, well, I'm taking 2 weeks off. We're going to hang out with my daughter Addison here. We're going to make sure that she is, she's been pretty good this year, so Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney. So we're going to have fun.
Oh boy!
And then I'm going to stop covering golf for quite a while, actually, and start focusing in on speed skating. I will go to Milwaukee the first week of January for the United States Speed Skating Olympic Trials. And then after that, I'm going to head to Beijing to cover speed skating in the Olympics. So, you know, it's definitely something that, yeah, it's something that I'm honored to be a part of. NBC takes incredible pride in its Olympic program, and to be asked to be a part of that is really, really cool. And I got to do a lot of studying.
Have you had the opportunity to meet our gold medalist from years back, Ono, the young man who won the speed skating?
Yeah, Apollo? I have not. He's primarily short track, so that's kind of like, you know, where all of them get together and go around.
Sprinters,
so I'm going to be doing long track primarily. I haven't had the opportunity to do that, meet him. But believe me, I am on a lot of conference calls this week, and I'm going to be doing a lot of speed skating. I'm even considering buying my own Lycra outfit to wear around the house just to kind of really get into the speed skating.
Well, we need a picture of that out on Twitter also.
Promise you that will never happen.
No, I don't think we need that.
I have a friend in Orlando that we both know that will go unmentioned, Brendan Sweeney. We'll have him sneak by and snap a picture from his car.
Now it sounds weird.
I'm curious, Todd. It sounds really weird. Yeah, I'm here to take a picture of you in your spandex, Todd.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
So you're a Florida guy. I don't know, as your kid, were you always a Florida guy? Can you skate? Did you grow up anywhere in the north that you had ice available?
No, I grew up in North Carolina, so that's about it.
North Carolina. Not a lot of rinks.
I did not grow up on ice, and don't know much about it, but I'm surrounded by great people who know the sport, and I'm totally going to be immersed, and I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's a cool opportunity, and you know what's weird? It's going to be weird about the Olympics, at least right now, is from what I understand, that this could easily change. This is a liquid environment that we are living in regards to COVID, but I believe that local fans are allowed to come to the venues for the Olympics, but they're not allowed to cheer. How weird is that?
That's what I heard. That is really weird.
Yeah. So, and yeah, from
meaning,
what I'm
meaning
told,
they don't breathe as heavy or something. It's going to somehow be safe. Is that the thought?
I believe the medical reasoning is because it's an aerosol virus, so it comes out of your mouth. You know, so when people are screaming, singing, and so on, you know, it can be spread. So it's odd. So,
well, you know, in all honesty, last year, the PGA Tour did that with a lot of us on radio, you know, taking Radio Row out of the media center.
Well, so, I finally got COVID, and so I am finally glad to put that behind me. I'm vaccinated and COVID, so I don't know what more I could do.
it's a scary thing, and they keep talking about it all the time, but hopefully we'll all get through it. I'm sure we will. With help from the big man. Hey,
best of luck in Beijing, too.
Yeah. Todd, you work for one of the greatest teams in all of sports coverage. I mean, the NBC team is just incredible, and the Golf Channel crew is just getting better and better and better, and kudos to you for spreading your wings and going out to do some more sports. I know it's going to be great because you've done a fabulous job over the years that we've known you on the Golf Channel. So,
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I appreciate it, guys. It's great talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you out on the golf course at some point. It'll be in March. Bay Hill will be my first time back.
We'll see you at Bay Hill for sure.
All right.
Okay. All right, buddy. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys, and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Todd. All right. Bye-bye. Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel and NBC. It'll be, as you just heard, we'll be watching him in the Olympics in Beijing.
Yeah, I thought it was short track he was doing, but it's the long form.
You know what, Frank? I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's two very distinctive, not unlike running, right? You've got your what's his name from Jamaica?
Who?
What's our sprinter? What's our sprinter's name?
From Jamaica. I know it.
Fastest man on the planet.
It's
the arrow. Why can't we think of this?
I know.
Okay, it'll come to me. Anyway, it's that versus, Zoom. You know,
something.
Yeah, that guy. Bolt.
UC Bolt.
It's like that versus, you know, marathons. I mean, so there's speed skating, which is still 5 or 8 or 10 times around, but still more measured, versus that fast track that you're talking about at Paulo Ono. They go like once or twice around in a shorter track, and they are as fast as they can go, as quick as they can go. And quite honestly, it almost always leads to a pileup. I mean, it's like NASCAR.
It's blades. It's roller derby on razor blades is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
They go flying into those padded walls because you got to take every corner. Those guys are on the thinnest of blade. It's just, but I love it. I think it's great drama.
I still have a picture of Paulo Ono and I have on his gold medal. He let me put it around my neck.
I would never
from years ago.
And give it to you. What was he thinking?
He wasn't. He didn't know me that well at the time.
Hey, look over there. Where'd Franco?
I think he's probably faster on his feet than I am also, so I didn't try to
Frank's
run with
telling
it.
Everybody that, you want to see my gold medal? Yeah, I won that back in the Olympics. You probably don't remember.
That's like my trophies all behind me here in the studio. Some of them are borrowed and stolen and everything else. But
I tell everybody I won gold medals in the 80 Olympics, and they think about it. Oh, really? And then they go, I thought we boycotted it. Well, maybe they did. I don't. But I'm pretty sure I won gold.
If you're going to lie, make sure you get your story square before you start. Right?
Sure. Forgot about that one. So, anyway, it was good. Neat for Todd, though. But back to the golf tournament, it was.
It was something.
It was highly entertaining. And I got to think, even though the competition is stiff, you know, on TV against the NFL, I bet they did pretty good numbers. I bet there are a lot of people.
Oh.
And that's the thing about, you know, we're talking about NBC, but any sport, I mean, or any network, whether it's ESPN or Fox or CBS, Tiger still spins the needle. I mean, he's still, if it wasn't Tiger and Charlie playing, and it was just, no offense, but if it's just the Sings and the Laymans and the Kuchers and the Duvals, you're maybe flipping a little bit, watching a little bit. It's about Tiger. Yeah. It still is. And
it is.
You know what? If you're the PGA Tour, if you're the Champions, if you're whoever in golf, boy, I tell you get him in your tournament, you get him on your TV, your network, it is night and day, isn't it?
Let me tell you that if Tiger, God forbid, passes away, it's going to be Weekend at Bernie's. They're just going to stuff him and keep him at tournaments.
I mean,
but he does. He is the needle. There's no doubt
Charlie,
about it.
He and Charlie were on camera 94% of the time.
Yeah. I kind of felt for John and John the second, not Junior. I keep wanting to say John Junior. He doesn't want to be called Little John.
Yeah.
Because they just, you know, here they are putting on a performance of a lifetime. And the camera's on Charlie and Tiger. But they put on the performance of a lifetime, too. They almost took them down. And or at least brought it to a playoff.
I will say this, and it's not a surprise because he's a two-time major champion and has won a lot of different events. John Daly, for all the appearance sake that you look at and you go, okay, that guy, that's the guy that, Frank, if you played at your club this week and he shows up on the tee, you're kind of already counting your money. You're kind of going, look at this guy. He's not even going to make it through the first nine. Right?
I've played a lot with John Daly, trust me.
He's got every shot. He hits cuts and draws.
Yes, he does.
And he's still got that huge swing at almost 60 years old that he takes it all the way back and hits the ground on the backswing. It's almost amazing.
He does that with wedges.
That you can look at this guy and go, physically, he can still do all these things despite the fact that he's 300 pounds. And
he's
like,
not
well,
quite that big, but
I'll bet he's got it.
I don't want to say bad things about John. He's a friend. So it's a friend thing. John's in great health. Great shape.
Frank, are you smoking something this morning?
No, but John was on the course. Did you notice that? He had to hide it from the camera a couple of
times.
That's
what I'm saying. And you're saying how great a shape he's in. That's what I'm saying. If he shows up, you're going, oh, God, we got this guy. Come on. Look.
He plays.
And he would just smoke you.
He plays here in Nashville a lot. He's in Nashville a lot. And
they were good. They played well.
John's a good dude. Well. He's a good dude. I've never met his son. I'm looking forward to maybe going to an NCAA, you know, event and meeting John the second.
They've got a good college team too.
Arkansas does.
Arkansas's got a very, very good college.
John
program.
Daly played there. Stacey Lewis played there, if you recall. You know, pretty good golfer in her day.
They're one of the top 20 teams every year.
Here's one of the sweetest things. It just made my heart smile watching this thing. When little Corda, you know, she's playing with her dad, who's an Australian Open, you know, winner, right?
Yeah.
Took big time tennis player.
Tennis, yeah.
She comes over and says, excuse me, Tiger, could I take a picture with you?
Oh, did she?
Yeah. And she was like a little girl. She's number one in the world.
I was going to say.
Women's number one in the world.
She's not.
And so he says, oh, sure, yeah, no problem, whatever. And she's like, they do the picture, they hug, then the son, who's a top tennis player. Her brother and her dad want a picture with Tiger. Well, he does that with them, and he's talking to them about tennis a little bit. Well, she starts walking off, and they put the camera on her, and she looks at the camera and goes, "Oh, my God, that's the coolest thing ever." And she's like a little girl. She's blushing and excited.
I'll bet you, Frank, if you went around that – for any of the kids that were playing with their dads, if you went to Furyk's kid or Price's kid or Faldo's kid or Harrington's kid, I bet a lot of them are the same way, going, pushing their dad away, going, "Yeah, whatever, Dad, I want to get a picture of Tiger. I want Tiger.
Well, of course.
I mean, as accomplished as their dads are and as in that world that they've been in and been at majors and all that kind of Tiger. So, yeah, in addition to spinning the needle and moving the needle on networks, he just does it to the public. People are still gravitating towards Tiger. Before we go, I'm just curious too, what you think. If Tiger didn't have all this and Jack didn't, and hardly any pro golfer at any level, we mentioned Hogan earlier, has had nearly the multiple injuries and problems physically that Tiger's had, and yet he's won 15 majors. If that goes away and he doesn't have those things happening to him and he's the regular tour guy that
25 occasional majors.
Here or there, you think 25?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, look at Nicklaus's record and look at how many seconds he has in majors.
I'm wondering, nobody knows, well, I say nobody knows, but I've never known it. I wonder how many, we could Google that, how many runner-ups does Tiger have? I'm sure it's now nowhere near, Jack has 19 runner-ups to his 18 majors.
Yeah.
I wonder, but Tiger, I don't think, has more than a handful, does he?
I'm not sure. I've never Googled that. Probably shouldn't have said that because I don't have the answer to it, but it's like a bad attorney. Curious, don't bring it up if you don't have the answer.
Yeah, really. But I think though, taking that aside, if he was just healthier and could compete, I mean, he had to miss some, right? We know he's had to sit out for some U.S. Opens and Masters and different things. I got to think he's at least a 20. To the low 20s, 21, 22.
Todd's exactly right. You know, he has to worry about his back. And you saw him grimace a few times with his back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that fusion surgery now puts stress on other parts of the back.
Well, so, you can see the difference a back makes versus, I mean, he was hobbling. You could tell a lot of times he was walking with a limp, and it was pretty obvious his right leg was uneasy, and that may last for a while. But if you looked at when he was playing, I guess, in the first round, with Justin Thomas and his dad had just
a bulging Mike disc, Thomas, yeah,
right, and you could just tell he couldn't swing.
Six cortisone shots.
That's the back is so much different as being a problem versus a knee, a shoulder, an ankle, different things that Tiger's had. The back part is, and that's why Todd's saying that. That was a perfect example of it right there. Watching Mike Thomas, everything was flaring right. He couldn't get through a ball. And even when he could, he kind of turned so gingerly to, like, look at his son. It's just terrible. I mean, you could just feel the pain. Having a bad back is just one of the worst things in life in general. But for a golfer, I agree. The knee, the leg, the broken leg and all that, I think will heal and probably be okay. Yeah. But it's whether or not he can – and as we know, Frank, neither of us are doctors, even though we play them on radio. We
stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night.
We did that. We know that you know, the problem with the back injury is, or any injury now that is his leg, is you sometimes overcompensate to make up for the gimp in your leg, and you put pressure on your left hip or somewhere else, and that causes that problem, right? Because you're trying to compensate. So that's the danger. I'm sure he's well aware that the doctors are telling him he's going to make sure that not to favor that right leg too much so that it does hurt his back more or hurt another part of his body, and it goes from his leg to his shoulder to a hip to, you know, other parts. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I can't wait. I think he'll be at Augusta. I really do. I think he's we saw his game, the conditioning part he can do without much wear and tear on bicycles, on elliptical. He can do a lot of that kind of cardio and get some stamina back into his lungs and I think he can get that if he's got the swing going and he's fairly healthy like he was. I think we're going to see him at Augusta. I don't know what he'll do. I mean, I'm with Todd. I wouldn't bet against the guy.
No. Never.
But I would say maybe look at him as a top 20 finisher. I don't know if he can win the thing. That's hard enough to win anyway. But
he's going to win any of them, that's the one, because he knows that course.
Well, and Steve Johnson brings up a great point. Every time we talk about the Masters, he goes, he only has to beat probably 30 guys.
Good. Yeah, that I remember him saying that. Yeah, you're right.
The field's at 83. Well, it's former champions. He's going to beat Ben Crenshaw. You know, he's going to beat some former champions. So you eliminate those guys. You've got amateurs from around the country. Okay, there's some other guys. You've got a good 40, 50 guys that aren't probably even in his radar. So to win the Masters, he really would have to beat 30 guys, you know? And I think he's probably looking at it like, okay, I can maybe do this versus a U.S. Open or versus a British where you've got to beat kind of the entire field. Masters might be perfect for him. What a story that would be, huh?
Oh,
just
my
over
Lord.
A year after that kind of an injury, it would be very
well. It's gonna,
Hogan, you know, Hogan-ish.
Follow the Sun. That was the movie Glenn Ford played Ben Hogan in.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's basically what it would be. Yeah, it was a lot of fun this weekend. By the way, just a quick touch on a little football. Titans suck. my God, did you see that total collapse? It was terrible. Yes. It was terrible. And Brady was shut out last night.
I was just going to ask about that. You should be Mr. Google, because I'm curious about that one. I need to find that out. When's the last time Brady's ever been shut out?
I don't think he's ever been shut out.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
It's hard to believe that they could not even get a field goal.
They looked terrible. They looked absolutely terrible last night.
So now we've got...
Titans, I mean, it's like it's a giveaway program. Would you like the ball? No, you take it, right? Please. I mean, the season of giving, so they gave up a lot.
It's not the playoffs yet, but I'm going to make a prediction. My gut right now tells me that Green Bay is the team to beat for the Super Bowl. I just think Aaron Rodgers
is Georgia,
so
personally.
Good. It's so good. And I think that Green Bay may, indeed, right now they've got the home field advantage. They get the first round bye. They get who wants to go to Green Bay in January and play at Lambeau? Nobody.
I'll go sit in the stands and watch.
I think Green Bay, because the Cowboys are right up there. They're going to win their division, and you got Tampa. Arizona's collapsing. You see Arizona losing to Detroit?
Yes. Yes. I was like, oh, my Lord.
Like, what is happening there? So
I don't know.
Green Bay is
there's
just
a ripple
solid,
in the force.
Solid. And you've got this superstar quarterback, and we all know the game is all about your quarterback play, and he just never seems to have an off week. I mean, he just knows what he's doing. So anyway, that's my prediction here in the 20th of December that it's going to be Green Bay, but we'll see.
There's
my prediction for you. By the way, Gutsy for Baltimore last night against Green Bay, going for two and the win, the last play of the game at the end of the game. That was they've done that twice this year and missed both times to win games at the end with a 2-point conversion. So gutsy, but maybe
now what's their head coach's name there? I can't seem to ever remember his name.
The Harbaugh guy?
I don't know. Okay. He always Mr. Happiness on his face.
Oh,
every time.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he just Mr. Sunshine?
The end of the world is upon us.
I know.
Always just
how does
negative.
He not have an ulcer? Every time? I mean, it's just like
he probably
there just
does.
Never seems to be happiness in his world ever. And I know we only see him on a football field, but I agree with you. You know, it's kind of Urban Meyer-ish. It's like these guys just.
Do
you enjoy doing it at all? Why are you doing this?
Well, I'm glad we're just kicking this around like today.
Yeah, why not?
Urban kicking his kicker. I wouldn't kick the kicker. Okay, the kicker has probably a stronger leg than you do, and if he kicks you, it's going to hurt.
Bad scene that was in Jacksonville.
That's just ridiculous. I know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's just one of those days.
We got to get Earl Forsey on. Earl Forsey, of course, is the voice of PGA Tour Radio, but he is a diehard Washington football fan and NFL fan. Been in Washington forever and ever. So we'll get him on maybe next show.
Sounds good.
And talk some NFL stuff.
All right, brother.
We are done. Thank you to Todd Lewis from Golf Channel for joining us and talking a little bit about the PNC Championship. Congratulations to Team Daly for winning it, pocketing all the big pockets of gold. I'm Tim Matthews for Frank Bassett. Thanks so much for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.